Blog Talk Radio.
The King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame, yeah. As the world.
You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, get the gold. Breaking all the records we thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know, never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
dead.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we do take a close look at one of the appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary somewhere in the last 2,000 years. Yes, she's been coming all those years very regularly. We've got almost 2,700 documented on record, and that is probably not nearly all of them. It's just the ones that have been documented. And, you know, this whole phenomenon didn't start with our praying for it or asking for it or wishing for it. She just started showing up. And a lot of times people didn't even know who she was. They thought it was a ghost, maybe a demon, maybe a lost soul, maybe some kind of angel. They really didn't know. And then she got to be better known for these appearances, and people started recognizing her familiar appearance. So, again, it wasn't like we wanted or expected any of this to happen, but as it started happening all over the world, every culture started documenting it. Sometimes it takes us many years to hear the stories from other parts of the world. It might be 20 years before we hear a story out of Rwanda, Africa. It was over 20 years before we heard all the details from what happened there. And still, there's many details from other countries like Lithuania, Ukraine, where we don't get all the information. We just get tidbits. So it's hard to know all the details, but I've studied 101 of them, and that sounds like a lot compared to most Catholics knowing 5, 6, maybe. And it is a lot, but out of almost 2,700, that's a drop in the bucket. So we have much to learn, and I think by the time you study 100 of them, like we do on this radio show, you'll get a real good idea of what is typical with her appearances. More of why she comes and what it's all about and how she goes about it. It's a very fascinating thing to study. And we're learning more about what heaven is aware of and tries to do for us. Yep, actually intervene sometimes. We've seen that happen where we're praying so hard that when evil doesn't stop, sometimes heaven steps in and makes a difference. And we have a number of stories where that happens. So pretty dramatic stuff. But most of it goes unnoticed by the world because they're too caught up, can't see past their nose and look at anything that spiritual or that amazing. And they live in denial and doubt and their own path, which sadly isn't the path to heaven. So we try to bring it to you so that you can be in tune with what is going on and you can make up your own mind what you want to do about it. Hopefully it'll be inspirational and educational and it'll help you stay on a good path. It sure has worked for me and also for my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. I know it's worked for you, Donald.
It most certainly is, because you had that question that I like coming from Song of Songs, verse 6 through 6, 10. Who is this that comes forth like the dawn? You know, every morning, you know, the sun faithfully comes up. Think about that one for a second. Who is this that comes forth like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, as resplendent as the sun, and as awe-inspiring as battered troops? Well, that's Our Lady, as she appeared all over the world as queen. She is queen. I got a question, though, before John, as far as the intro song, and did that sound like it was coming out okay to you?
Yeah, it came through fine.
Okay, because there was a lot of static on my end of it. I just wasn't sure if that was happening all over or if it was just my system here. So that sounds good. Well, at any rate, it is important for us to understand that in the last times he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream. Indeed, the handmaids of the Lord shall prophesy. And he would perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And, you know, that is so, so important. Because that's what we're talking about. You know, because the Lord in his Catholic Church has been producing these things faithfully all the time. And what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to be able to share these examples. Because that's what we're talking about. Medjugorje is a testimony to what's happening now. But we've focused on this for many years, going all the way back to 40 A.D. when Our Lady first appeared to St. James. And so that's something that we want to continually do, you know? So,
right.
And I think when people hear these, it means so much. It does. It means so much. We have on with us tonight also Michael from New Jersey. Michael, you know, the past couple years, you know, how much of this would you say helped you in any of this?
I think the overriding message that I get from these apparitions And there are people who tried to disprove them that, in fact, the church takes an average of 53 years to investigate the one incident and decide whether or not it really happened or it's just a myth. But I think that the overriding message of these apparitions, no matter where they are or how many there are, can be summed up in just four words. We are not alone.
Yep. That's for sure.
There is something out there.
Yep, yeah. There is most certainly.
And more importantly, there is someone out there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. God is, he's truly present, and we are with him. His holy church is with him. And, it's a presence. Anytime you go to Mass, he is truly present, body, blood, soul, divinity. Every Mass.
That's a lot to rub your head, to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
And I think it's a reminder, too, that heaven is always, every moment, knows what's going on with us. They are always watching and tuned in. So if we think that they don't care or don't notice, we're wrong.
Heaven doesn't have to wait till the 6 o'clock news comes on.
No. No. They know what's going to happen before we do.
They know what's going to happen before it happens.
That's right. That's right. So, anyway. So, tonight we do return to Medjugorje. I believe it's week 5. Is that right, Donald?
Yes, it's week 5.
Week 5, and usually we go 6 or 7 weeks, so no surprise. And it's my summary of the events over the last 40 years. Summary. And it takes that long just to go through the summary. So it just tells you how much goes on there. And Donald,
hey,
you know that yourself, having been there.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We got also Kathy from Bourbon Street, not Bourbon Street, but Bourbon Town out there, not too far from St. Louis, not too far from there. How you doing there, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. Hi, John. Hi, everybody. I'm doing good.
Good, good. I'm surprised, Donald, you haven't come up with a song for bourbon yet. You had one for Laredo, and you had one
a song for who?
But
bourbon.
Anyway, yeah, where she
I'll
lives.
Tell you this, Bourbon Street there in New Orleans, when I would be driving down there in the south, there in New Orleans in the French Quarter there on my way home, I would have to pass through there, and a lot of times I would go through Bourbon Street and some of those places, and when I would do that, I would roll my windows down because, you're going through all that. And I would just play and crank up my stereo or my system inside the car playing To Hell with the Devil and This Means War.
And you live.
Just so, that,
and you live
just
to
so I don't know who was the boss, you know. That was my way of saying who's the boss. So, but I haven't got anything there for Bourbon, Missouri.
Well, you've come up with something, I'm sure. Anyway.
Get my library out when you're ready.
Yeah. So, anyway, we do return to Medjugorje for week 5, and there's so much that's gone on. We have 6 visionaries all between the ages of 10 and 17 in that first year. Now they're in their 50s. And they still have appearances today. So even though it's 40 years later, they still, some of them, have an annual one or a monthly one or a birthday one. They still have certain appearances, and they still are just as dedicated and just as genuine and sincere as they were 40 years ago. Which, folks, that's pretty impressive when you think about doing anything the same way for 40 years. That's pretty impressive. So, especially starting as a teenager. So, anyway, I'm going to start with where we kind of left off last week, because the next couple of events all tie in with it. So I'm going to do a review with the very last miracle. And here a priest is stating that, quote, we had a sun miracle at 1 o'clock p.m. We had just walked behind the church when a storm commenced. The church seemed to shake. Clouds as dark as night were driven across the sky by this brief storm. Suddenly the sun broke through with spectacular rays. Then we saw the sun spin, just like Fatima, and seen most clearly by our most skeptical members. Everyone got on their knees because we all saw the darting and fiery rays breaking through the dark clouds in various directions. As the clouds disappeared, the sun became rose red. I'm sorry, the sky became rose red, and the sun paled just like Fatima. And seen in the sun was the Andrew Cross. As it disappeared, a huge cross made of light began to be raised above the sun, peaked by a crown. Around it, the darkness grew again, as though the judgment of God was at hand. All of this time, the huge, and we're talking 30-foot-high cross on the mountain became invisible. The spectacular rose colors grew brighter and brighter, twirling around the cross of light, which was above the sun, unquote. Now, that's quite a description, and we've got more to come. But any comments on that first beautiful, long description of celestial displays?
I have
one.
Well,
that's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it seemed apocalyptic. That's what they said at Fatima. They thought that the world was ending at the miracle of the sun.
Yep. Absolutely. They got on their knees there, too.
That is
yeah.
True.
Yep.
Also, I like Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 20. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, or to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls upon the name of the Lord. And that is, you know, just something that there's something taking place supernaturally that we're able to see in the sky. And that's exactly what we're seeing at Medjugorje, as well as we did in Fatima and other places. Go ahead there, Kathy.
Yeah. The readings at Mass on Friday were about the world after the new era, and it said that the moon will give as much light as the sun does now, and that the day will be seven times brighter than it is. It'd be the sun of 7 days and one day, you know, when after the new era, and we have the era of peace. And so I think it's kind of, it's cool that these things with the sun are happening, because it's like prepping us for whatever. We're not going to have a sun in the sky then. It's going to be uncreated light that's like there was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Or like in heaven, where the light of Christ is the light that illuminates everything.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, it'll be different, but nothing bad, nothing horrible in that life to come. Just awesome, beautiful things. So here's another event that happened a number of times in the early years. The word spelled M-I-R was written in large, bright letters in the evening sky above the cross on Mount Krzyzewak. Now, M-I-R is their language for the word peace. So I guess you'd say Bosnian word for peace, M-I-R, was written in large, bright letters in the sky above the cross on Mount Krzyzewak. The pastor and many others witnessed this phenomenon on many occasions. The most frequently observed phenomenon have involved the cross on Mount Krzyzewak. People have seen the huge cross transform into a column of light. At other times, the cross bar of the cross and its lower part have turned bright white, forming a T or a Tau cross, that T-A-U, Tau cross. At other times, the whole 30-foot-tall cross has changed into the bright, luminous form of a young lady that matches the description of Mary given by the children. Clear detail. This occurred with most intensity for 30 minutes during the trial of Father Jozo on October 21st and 22nd, 1981. Father Luca Velasic gives the following report. Quote, I noticed that the cross was gone from the mountain. In its place was now a large, white, bright column. Soon this changed into a statue with the contour of a woman. She had her hands extended. She was looking towards the parish church. At times it appeared as if she was bowing on the left and then to the right. A strong thought came to my mind. This is a reward from Our Lady for the long and exhausting 4 months of hearing confessions in Medjugorje. He and three other priests had traveled to help with that. Many pilgrims around the church and coming out of the church witnessed the appearance. Their faces were aglow with exultation. I am willing to confirm the truthfulness of this testimony by oath at any time. All right. What do you think of that report?
Well, these signs and things that we're witnessing, I think it just gives testimony that our Lord is looking for opportunities for people who are going there. I think that is important. Most certainly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
I mean, that's the Lord doesn't do anything that is what I would consider for show or, you know, but it's for us because of his love for us that these
mm-hmm.
signs are there. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing all these signs. And so,
would you say
hopefully,
would you say that most people that travel to Medjugorje do get some kind of reward or wonderful experience?
I would say yes.
Well, I'm.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I was going to say, you know, I've spoken about my parish before and how it's a lively parish and it does well. And we have several people that travel to Medjugorje and they're very devoted.
Mm-hmm. Did they have
those are the
interesting experiences?
Sometimes, not really, not too much, but it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah,
like,
it's the environment.
Rosemary said.
Go ahead, Kathy.
You know, little things happen here and there. You know, and one time, one of the ladies that she was with or something saw the sun darken or whatever, and it's not a big major thing, but it didn't matter.
Right. All right. Well, here's another experience. Father Janko Bubalo described his moving experience as well. Quote, I looked out the rectory window a little after 5 p.m., and I saw two of the nuns kneeling on the wet ground with their arms wide open. Near them were some 70 men and women kneeling and quite oblivious of the falling rain. Some were crying, some praying, others singing religious hymns. They were all looking toward the cross on the mountain. But it had disappeared. In its place was a strange, pale, rose-colored light without equivalent in real life. Through binoculars, saw the silhouette of a woman. Her arms were open and her feet were hidden in a luminous cloud at the base of the pedestal of the cross. I was filled with joy. All the villagers who looked were able to see her. The people prevailed upon the seers, visionaries, to ask Our Lady about the significance of this happening. And she told the children it had been her appearing on the mountain. Okay. What do you think of that one?
Hey, when she appears, I guess that takes, you know, that just adds to that environment. The focus becomes different, perhaps, from the natural to the supernatural. Any time that Our Lady is appearing anywhere like that, that's powerful stuff.
Oh, yeah, especially when anyone can look and see the same thing. It takes it out of being an illusion or hallucination or fantasy, because when anybody can look that direction and all see the same thing, it's real. It's there. And here's another priest who saw the same thing through binoculars, and this is Father Stanko Vasilich. His comments at that time, quote, he says, "I saw the silhouette of a woman with a very bright and luminous gray cape. At a certain moment, a ray of sparkling light issued from her right cheek. Everyone was on their knees outside. Three Carmelite priests arrived by car at that moment, having witnessed her from their car for the last mile and a half. At the end, a cloud rose up from the site of the cross. It was clear and transparent and divided in two in the form of a fan. It was followed by another cloud, dark and somber, that came down like a curtain on each side of the cross. The cross finally reappeared, resuming its usual appearance. I affirm all of this, fully aware of my great responsibility before God and the Church," unquote, says this priest, Father Stanko Vasilich. Well, there you go. Another testimony from a priest. Pretty impressive.
Whenever they have a priest that sees it, to me that just kind of, it just tells you that Our Lady is wanting her sons to know this is happening. It says in Psalms 45, it refers to the priests as her sons, which these same priests also, our Lord refers to his princes in the church in Revelation chapter 5:10. So it's very interesting, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. What do you think of all this, Mike?
Well, I'm just trying to take it in, kind of digest it. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is. Makes me want to pack my bag and just go there and hang out for a few months. but miracles can happen anywhere, that's for sure. All right, well,
every day.
The visionaries then added that Blessed Mary told them that, quote, "all of these signs are meant to reawaken the people's faith. Every day I pray to my son in front of that cross, asking him to forgive the world." So that's a clue right there what heaven's got in mind. All these signs, all these demonstrations, all these celestial things, all these miracles are to reawaken people's faith. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like Satan, does it?
No, that definitely does not. Because that would be the last thing that Satan would want, is for people to get energized and to live the way of righteousness, to live the way of holiness. Those things are contrary to what the devil would be calling for. And so...
That's right. I always said if the devil's responsible for any of this, he's doing a pretty bad job. So he loses.
Well, you go to again, 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it talks about that if anyone approaches you with the supernatural, we are to test the spirit. And so what is the gauge that you go by to test that spirit? Well, that is the charism of the Holy Spirit that has been given to the Catholic Church. And so when the Catholic Church investigates, like Mike was talking about a while ago, the average time it takes usually to investigate, it's pretty extensive and thorough, because they don't want to, they want to ensure that there's no deception. And so
right.
That's why it goes through all this. And unfortunately, when we're talking about Medjugorje, you could just Google it, and you're going to find all kinds of stuff. It is. And so you know that what the Lord is doing, the devil is going to either try to have a duplicate, counterfeit, or just a sense of denial, or what have you. You know, I know one thing that I've heard that, well. Mary is saying that all religions are equal there at Medjugorje, and that is far from the truth. I think what
right.
possibly people get misinterpreted is when you say Jesus is the king of all creation, he's king of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mary would be the queen of, you know, she's the queen. Unfortunately, there are going to be those who deny or reject or sin and decide to choose against God. And if they do, well, you know, hell is their portion. But unfortunately,
right.
that's just that's one of those things that we have to do everything that we can to promote what our Lord is doing. But because there's so much confusion about this, and like I said, I mean, you know, I know people, I mean, so of course, if Our Lady would never say that all religions are equal. On the contrary, at Medjugorje, what is she telling people to do? To go to Mass, to receive the sacraments, to participate, I mean, to get involved with the Eucharist. Go to confession. That is important.
Yep.
So there you go.
All right.
She's not encouraged. At Medjugorje, you're not getting the message where Our Lady is encouraging you to go to some Buddhist temple or some Hindu temple, you know?
Never happened.
or not even a Protestant church. She's not
mm-hmm.
encouraging anybody to do anything like that. On the contrary,
nope.
She's calling people to come to know her Son. That is exactly what we're all about right there.
Well said. Well said. Well, on December 11th, the eve of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, a, quote, dance of the sun took place shortly after 3 p.m., as described by an American woman. And here's what several Americans experienced. Again, this is in that first year. The sun started to quiver and shake as if it wanted to rip itself loose from the sky. It looked like it had a disc covering it, which also shook. The natives call this the host. Then the sun started to rotate clockwise toward us. It was spectacular and awesome. It came toward us and then spun back counterclockwise. It lasted until about 3:40 p.m. So for 40 minutes, they watched the sun do this dance and come at them like at Fatima and then go back up into the sky, the same kind of dynamics. Interestingly, at 2:50 p.m. the next day, she and her friends were treated to another performance of the sun. Quote, the sun started to quiver and shake and then spin toward us again. The more we prayed, the more spectacular the sight became. That's interesting. Again, she said, the more we prayed, the more spectacular the sight became. The sun started to spin faster and faster, and all of a sudden, we could see a beautiful red glow around it. This changed to yellow, orange, and a most beautiful violet. It started back again, and it came toward us again, changing colors around it. The lady next to me from England was bathed in the colors that the sun was throwing off. I also saw the ground bathed in red, yellow, orange, and violet. And that happened at Fatima too, by the way. Then suddenly the sun jumped across the sky as if it were going down in the west behind the mountain. But just as fast as it jumped over, it jumped back. After that, it zigzagged up and down. My husband and all the others saw it too. This spectacle lasted one full hour, unquote. Man, that is just amazing.
What do you think about that? It is. You go to 2 Kings chapter 20, and you look at Hezekiah. He became ill, and the Lord promised to give him more time, like 15 years to his life. He says, I will rescue you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And so I will be a shield to this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And so Isaiah told him, the sign of his healing would be that the sun would go back 10 steps on the site. And think about that one for a second. And this happened. And guess what? This was seen all the way back into Babylon. And Babylon sent couriers there to what was this sign that they saw? Can you imagine that this sign
yeah.
that was seen as a sign for Hezekiah that the Lord was going to give him that healing and an additional 15 years to his reign, that sign would be seen in as far away as Babylon, and that they would send
wow.
emissaries there to this wonder.
Wow.
I mean, it's fantastic, I think.
It sounds like
so,
the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Amazing. So we think all this is just recent and modern, and actually it was all the way back in the Bible, still similar, spectacular celestial events were happening. So God can do anything.
Oh,
I know scientists go crazy with this because they said there's no way the sun would come closer to the earth. There's no way it would come like that. But, you know, at Fatima, scientists had to agree that the heat that dried up all the ground, all the mud, all the rain, and all the people's clothing from the drenching rain that day, they said it would take a 2-megaton nuclear blast to have done that. And, of course, there was no nuclear blast, but what's the sun made of? Nuclear energy. So in a roundabout way, the science kind of proved that some kind of intense heat did come near all the people, but they didn't want to
say
the sun did it.
Without radiation, that was not
yeah,
harmful
right.
to it. That, yeah. So that was something one man made.
Right, right. So pretty impressive. Yeah, we come to an interesting part of the story. At the end of May 1984, Our Lady told Ivan, one of the visionaries, that August 5th would be the 2,000th anniversary of her birthday. Now, the church actually celebrates it on September 8th. That would make Our Lady about 15 or 16 years old when she gave birth to Jesus. Our Lady told Ivan that Jesus would be present with her and would give her a special gift of many conversions throughout the world. In preparation for this day, Our Lady asked for 3 days of prayer and fasting just prior to August 5th, 1984. She also requested that her birthday be a special day of prayer. Quote, I have dedicated all my life to you through the centuries. Let it not be too much to give that day to me. There will be conversions, changes in the lives of people, in those who are psychologically ill, in sinners, and young people especially will accept me, unquote. Well, the area responded with great enthusiasm. Close to 40,000 followers came for Mary's birthday on August 5th. The children said that Our Lady appeared, quote, more brilliant than ever, unquote, glowing, very happy, and very pleased with the widespread response to her request for and fasting. She said, pray, pray, never stop praying. And around 7 a.m. that morning, a number of people reported seeing Blessed Mary on Mount Krizovac for 15 minutes. Her hands were uplifted, and she turned slowly, dressed in brilliant white. Somewhere around this time, the huge concrete cross, 30 feet high, was seen spinning for about 1 minute. Two American women reported that many pilgrims saw the sun spinning furiously as well and not hurting their eyes at all to look at it, which is typical. Mary's birthday was truly a spiritual celebration in many ways. Now, I want to take a moment here because a lot of people are upset that Medjugorje is claiming that Mary's birthday is August 5th. Well, interestingly, in apparitions in Cuenca, Ecuador, the visionary Patricia there also was told by Mary to plan a celebration for her birthday on August 5th. Now, what are the odds that apparitions in Ecuador, South America, and apparitions in Bosnia, Herzegovina would have Mary saying the same exact date of August 5th and ask for celebrations on both occasions? So I just think that's kind of interesting. And I think I have another time I know that someone else was told it was August 5th and another apparition. So at least three sources that have said that. And, you know, Donald, any thoughts?
Well, I'm going to hold to the idea that it's September the 8th. That's what the church has always formulated. And so I don't know. Probably one of the reasons why some people question Medjugorje, because that does go into a, you know, a contradiction, because apparently the angels was the ones back in the 3rd, 4th century that was celebrating Mary's birthday on the 8th of September, and the church before that was actually celebrating it before that, I guess, through tradition. So you're putting the arm of tradition. Go ahead, Kathy.
Is that about 33 days between August 5th and September the 8th? No, it's longer.
33 days, yeah.
But you got to remember that Mary was born under a Hebrew calendar. And so that may be different on the Gregorian calendar.
Good point.
So it That'd could be the 8th out. Of September, but...
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the different calendars, you know, that's probably, that could be. And so how would like
not,
to see.
Yeah, they're not far apart.
Well, but that is a considerable situation, I mean, change. I mean, either the angels were wrong in the 3rd century when this was being the music and the singing of it was as such that it inspired the church calendar that way. Or,
now, Donald,
you know.
Donald, are you going to tell the Virgin Mary that she's wrong?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what – I don't think Mary would be going to do. She would not be doing anything, though, that would counter the church. And that's another – that would be an area where people would question – because, I mean, Mary's not going to do anything that goes against the church. But the church calendar, she's not going to do anything that would be against it. On the
contrary. I don't think she'd lie about her birthday. I don't think she'd lie about her birthday, though.
No, but
on faith and morals. Like, the church speaks ex cathedra on faith and morals. The day of her birthday wouldn't really be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that would be a big one that some people would have a problem with, because if the church believes that it was on the 8th of September, and that is the official date of it, I mean, that's on the calendar. That's when it's celebrated. I'm just saying that would be a hiccup for a lot of people because of that point. Mary was truly born, or I mean, if her birthday was actually truly the 5th of August, then that should have been what the church had always recognized and understood. And that makes sense, because if you look at the great birthdays of all your men, you know, all the different historical facts, things like birthdays are relevant. And so this would be kind of one of those things that, you know, for me, it's, I'm not questioning it one way or the other, other than that I know a lot of people would have a hard time with that, because that is something that the church will be definitely be, it's not like,
okay.
I mean, Christmas, December 25th was not just a date arbitrarily set. It's the actual birthday of our Lord, December 25th, 2 B.C., Now, if somebody came out and said, well, his actual birthday was in August, there would be a lot of, especially from people like me, that would be a very big thing, because that would not be true. He was not born in August. But there are some who say that because they're trying to go against the Catholic Church. Anything that the Catholic Church comes out with and says, these people will come out and try to disprove. If you can disprove anything that the Catholic Church teaches, then that justifies the reason for not being Catholic. And that's
on the Hebrew calendar, that would have been the 7th of Av, 5744 in 1984.
That's interesting.
What was the other date? The other, the South American date, John?
Same,
August 5th. They both were the same. And here's the thing.
What year was that?
Medjugorje, she said it would have been the 2000s. In this case, in 84, she said it would be the 2000th anniversary of her birthday, which would have made it about 16 years before zero.
Could that be that in preparation for her birthday? She's not saying it's August the 5th, but because birthday is coming up, that the celebration there would be for the 8th of September. I mean, that's... it's part of the language.
She says clearly, both in Ecuador... in Cuenca, Ecuador, and in Medjugorje, she clearly said that August 5th was her true birthday. And I just find it fascinating. When I heard that in Medjugorje, I was pretty worried because I hadn't heard it ever before anywhere else. And then I was just blown away when I was studying Cuenca later on. And it came up there with Mary requesting the celebration and everything, and Jesus would be there, very similar to what she asked for in Medjugorje. And yet these two apparitions are continents apart and years apart and no connection whatsoever, and yet she asked for the same things and said the date was August. I thought, well, there you go. I mean, that's the kind of confirmation you look for, is when it comes up. Now, on a good note, she doesn't go on about the church has it wrong. She doesn't make a stink about it, and she doesn't complain. She lets the church have its celebration, and she doesn't say anything against that. So So she's very respectful of what the church has chosen to do. But I tend to believe her. I'm sorry. I think
well,
she ought to
I don't
know.
Think it's going to matter to your salvation in that regard. I don't think it does that
no.
at all. But at the same time,
I'd trust you, Mary, and trust you, Jesus, rather than say, Mary, you lied. No. No.
Let's throw a real monkey wrench into this thing.
All right.
You know, Jesus later in life would say, "You must be born again, since your birthday is the celebration of your birth. If you have two births, you have two birthdays."
Oh, you throw a wrench.
We're only going to have fun with this one.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not going to go on about it. I mean, I just look at it as it's extremely unlikely that a whole different apparition, a continent away, would come up with the same date and the same type of activities and everything completely independently. And what are the odds with 365 days in a year that it would just be the same exact August 5th? So I just thought that was, oh, by the way, Our Lady of the Snows occurred on August 5th. Da-da-da. Another date, August 5th, Our Lady of the Snows in Rome. So.
What about September the 8th could have been when her parents took her to the temple?
Oh, that's
no.
Possibility.
I don't think that's...
Tell us more about how that September 8th date came around. You said the angels were celebrating, but tell us, it was a vision, wasn't it, that was seen by somebody?
Yeah, it was the bishop of, Jerusalem, and he heard the angels singing on Mary's, rejoicing about Mary's birthday, which was September 8th. And that's what... And I think that was going by tradition, too. Tradition has always been and played a major role in a lot of this as well. It's not just that it's in the Bible, but the tradition. You know, St. Paul says to the Thessalonians to hang on to the tradition which we have given you, either what we've written to you or what we've told you. And so this is one of those things that was not specific coming from the Gospels. The main emphasis was on Jesus. And so, yes, we can collaborate through the Gospels, the birthday of Jesus, but to really get it, you have to go by tradition, you have to go by science. We know that the Star of Bethlehem appeared over Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem over December 25th, 2 B.C., and was there for 6 days, all the way up until the 1st of January. And so it's just one of those things that the church relies on as well. Tradition is a major focus, reading between the lines in Scripture, because that's who was there. The church was there. And something like Mary's birthday was not as a major issue among the gospel accounts, but it would be more or less that it would have been handed down through tradition. But when you have angels celebrating it on top of that tradition, that just added emphasis. And so the whole thing about August the 5th, I mean, you know, if you want to, you know, remember her birthday there too, it's, I mean, like what Michael was saying, I guess you can think about it 2 days. you know.
Okay.
I'm going to throw
another wrench in the works. You'll like this one. Here's another wrench. In heaven, where the angels are, there is no time.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But the day
so
that a person
they may be
dies,
celebrating Mary, and it just happened to be September 8th on Earth when they saw them celebrating, but it's always now in heaven. There is no date.
But it's still remembered on the day that a person dies. you know, they're it's not when a person is born that they're remembered, and you know, for the church calendar, it's when they die. And so I think that the, you know, what is the Feast of the Assumption? What day do we celebrate the Feast of the Assumption of
that
the Blessed Virgin
August
Mary?
August 15th? Is that August 15th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that date is more important, I would think.
For sure.
Because that's when we...
I just thought I'd throw in that heavenly version of time.
I just thought something.
What?
We are going to Mass on Wednesday because it's the Immaculate Conception, but if her birthday is actually on August the 5th, then her Immaculate Conception would have been on November the 5th.
Well,
November. So, yeah, well, the Immaculate Conception is dealing with the Virgin Mary. That is true. Not with Jesus. Jesus was not he was conceived in March.
Oh, the plot thing.
Jesus was conceived in March. And John the Baptist would be born 6 months later.
Well, Guadalupe is about to start.
June. What's that?
Guadalupe is about to start. That's like around the 10th or 12th of December, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Oh, well. It's fascinating. But anyway, we're coming to the end of our time tonight. And this week we will continue with some of the miracles and messages and different things going on from Medjugorje. I mean, healing miracles and those kinds of things that we'll talk about. So that will be interesting. And our discussion on Medjugorje will continue with so much more interesting evidence of supernatural happenings, as we've certainly heard tonight. I just can't imagine that 30-foot concrete cross disappearing or spinning around. You've been there, Donald.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's something for you to think about.
Oh, certainly. But yeah, the signs and wonders there, you know, that have been handed or just shown, yeah, that's powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And seen by many. So not just one person, but many people witnessing these things. All right. Well, before we close out our show, we always like to say a Hail Mary worldwide. We ask everyone out there to join in. So all of our voices will be in unison, rising up to heaven and making heaven smile as they hear us honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary with a Hail Mary. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless everyone who tuned in tonight and listened. We really appreciate your interest and your participation. We hope this has been interesting, enlightening, educational, thought-provoking, and, you know, we sincerely try to bring you the best information and have our little discussions, which hopefully might cover some of your thoughts and questions as well. In any case, it's unlike anything else you probably do during the week, so come back next Sunday, and we will do it again at the same time and continue our wonderful investigation of Medjugorje. So with that, I say good night, and thank you all, the team, for tuning in tonight. It always adds so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, God bless you all, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
Good night.
wash me, passion of Christ.